Good morning to everybody. Are you warm enough? Yeah, if you need some more heat, then just kind of, I don't know, do something to let us know and we can make it warmer. Yeah, we can make it warmer. It was very warm in here last night, yesterday afternoon, as the women gathered, as Guy said. And I don't think any of the women who were on the team, except for Carolyn, are here today for us to say thank you. But of course, with a team come many other people who were part of that and helping to make it a real success. And we want to say thank you so much. And it was wonderful to have Pastor Sue's home come from Manukau City Baptist to come and share and encourage and share her journey of faith and the honesty and vulnerability that as she shared was just wonderful. And then space was created for us all to be ministered to. And whatever that looked like, and then we were ministered to by a beautiful meal. So thank you so much. I was blessed. I pray for those other women who came that you were blessed as well. Okay, let's pray. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would reshape the pattern of our lives. And we offer you our lives, our story once again. We offer all that is old and all that is new, all that is broken and all that is whole. And this morning we pray that you would give us a glad and generous heart to receive your word. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we continue on with disciples making disciples. And our reading this morning is Matthew chapter 13. If you've got your Bibles, you can get them out. If you've got your phones and you want to flick to Matthew 13, then I encourage you to do that. I'm going to be reading in the NIV version this morning. It will be up on the screen. I was following along yesterday with the version that just happened to be up on my phone, which was the Message version, as Suze was reading in the NIV and just kind of, it was really difficult. So I just wanted to tell you that I'm going to be reading in the NIV just in case your translation is different. Okay, Matthew 13, it's going to be 1 to 9 and then 18 to 23. Now that same day, Jesus went out of the house and he sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and he sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. But some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up and the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Then the passage between 9 and 18 is where the disciples then kind of go, why are you telling stories? Why are you telling stories? And Jesus explains to them the necessity for people to try and understand the principles and the truths that he was giving, and that telling these stories was the best way for them. So then he goes on to explain the meaning of the story. He says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time, for when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word and making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. So this is a well-known parable. We've all read it. We probably learnt it back out in Sunday school. You've probably heard some really great teaching on it many times. And that's because it's a really rich passage. But it's one to me that clearly highlights the need for and the necessity for discipleship, both ours and for others. And as we listen to this parable in 2025, it is a little challenging for us to hear and understand it with the farming principles that Jesus is talking about. Think of our drive to Pukekohe, if you ever go that way on any given day, and we can see what the farmers do with their sowing. See, they clear the paddocks. They've got very clear fences and boundaries around their paddocks. Then they get their tractors out and they plough the field. And I imagine anything that is in the way is removed, any rocks and stones or anything like that. If there were any weeds, they'd spray it with something that would kill it. And then they'd spray it again with fertilizers, and off they go, and the ground's all ready and prepared and everything. And then along comes those, is it seed drill machines? I don't know, where they just drop in perfectly placed seeds. They intentionally sow the seed. It's all very systematic and very precise. But Jesus wasn't speaking to those farmers there. He's speaking to the first century farmers who farm really differently. And so as he's telling the story, they're going, oh, yeah, that makes sense to us. See, farmers in the time of Jesus didn't necessarily own a field. Okay, the very wealthy ones did, obviously, because they had the money and the capability to do that, but not normal people like us. Okay, so what would happen is that, I guess we had the thinking of allotments, back in England in the day, or even here, there are shared fields where we can go and have a space to grow things. That was what would happen back in these days. So they'd come along and you wouldn't have a whole field, but you'd have part of a field. And it was necessary for people to have a field to grow their produce. If it's not for their own families, for them to sell. But of course, they had to sow wheat. Bread was such a huge part of their diet. And so they would sow wheat and they would sow barley. So a large field would generally be divided up amongst many people. And so, to kind of help delineate fields and paddocks and things like that, would naturally there would be a pathway for people also to get from one area to the other area to their area. So pathways, it makes sense that there were pathways there. But it wasn't just pathways which helped delineate where the field was. There were rocks. There are a lot of rocks there. And so they would move the rocks, and you can kind of see it in this picture, where there are rocks kind of helping to sort of show where the edges of the field are. Now, when you're spending time and effort without any kind of modern technology looking after your field, you can see and understand why also there would be thorns that would grow up along the side of that path. The thorns would get in underneath and in between the rocks. And sure, it wouldn't take much for them to pull them out, but that didn't matter. That was just kind of, again, potentially part of a barrier. I don't know the reason and the purpose, but all the focus and the energy was on the field. So they would understand a field, they would understand a path, they would understand rocks, and they would understand thorns. The farmer who was sowing the seed in this parable, as we know it, is God. The seed is the word of God, the good news of Jesus and of the kingdom of heaven coming to earth. The good news was the fulfillment of Scripture. And the seed is, we see that the seed is being sown liberally. Okay? The seed isn't just being kept within those boundaries. It wasn't just to the people of God. The seed was being thrown liberally beyond the borders. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever would believe in him would not die but have eternal life. And then the soil represents the different hearts of those who are hearing this good news. And how because of their hearts, how they may or may not receive the truth and the power of the word. And as we reflect on it today, we realize that we have also the privilege of being seed sowers as we co-labor with Christ. See, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he writes, I planted, he's talking about himself, Paul, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So that neither he who plants or he who waters is anything, but it's only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive the wages according to his labor, for we are God's fellow workers. Now this particular passage that Paul is writing about speaks to people going, oh, well, but I like Paul, or I like what Apollos is doing. And Paul is saying it's what we are doing together. Nobody is greater than the other because we're all co-laborers together for Christ. And it is actually God, it is actually the work of the Spirit in people's lives that we then celebrate. But we come alongside and we help what it is that he is doing. So that means that we all have a part to play. So God calls us to sow the seed, to plant the seed, to water and to nourish the seed. He calls us to disciple one another. Now, the seed remains the same. So the farmer becomes God who sows the seeds and us, co-laboring with him, and the seed is the word of God. It's Jesus, who's the word become flesh. So that what may be shared, what it is that we will share broadly and freely, is the good news of Jesus Christ. It is the teachings of Jesus and the commands of Jesus. And the soil are still the different hearts who are receiving the seed. So we can see that we all have a part to play in sharing and sowing the good news of Jesus. And while we can sow broadly and freely, we can do so with intention. And this is through relationship that we can nurture the seed. And then we hope and pray that we will see the transforming work and the loving work of the Spirit in people's lives. And relationship is so incredibly key. Because there needs to be connections and friendships that are being formed, whether it be over coffee cups, whether it be around dinner tables, environments like small groups that people commit to, places and spaces where there is the opportunity for openness and honesty, where a sharing of lives and faith can be exchanged. And as we look at this parable, we can see that together we all have something to bring and to offer others. And it comes through understanding the different soils of people's hearts. And we can understand the different soils because of our own lives and our own experiences. So the four soils as we know and as we understand them. So the path is the first one, where the seed is sown, where the message is given, but there is no understanding. And so what happens in the scripture here is that the seed is taken away by Satan. I had to ask myself, how many times have I read or have I heard truths that I didn't understand? You know, especially back in my early days of faith, where I'd go to church, I was so excited, I'd fallen in love with Jesus, he loved me, I loved being in church, I loved being with everybody, I loved the worship, and then it would come to the word and I'd go, what? I don't understand what's being said to me. And so because I couldn't engage, I didn't understand, my mind just kind of shut down. And at the end of church, I'd go, oh yeah, that was great, it was great. And someone said, oh, great word, wasn't it? And I was like, no, I don't know, you know. And it was, and I just kind of realized it wasn't the message, it wasn't what was being spoken or who it was that spoke in it. It's just that I didn't understand it. And so therefore it was me who missed out on the wealth of wisdom and the truths that would have been given. And what it was really key for me at that time was through a friendship that I had with a woman. And as she kind of came alongside me and she sort of realized what I was struggling with, that these messages were like, I don't know. So she began to do this thing at most weeks, this is Nancy, that she would ask me about the message on Sunday. And she would say, okay, is there anything that you want to ask me about the message on Sunday? And of course I'd be like, well, because I would kind of check out because I didn't understand, it meant that I had to listen into the message and I had to have something to go back to her. It was this kind of positive kind of peer pressure kind of thing that was going on. But it was so necessary for me to actually begin to engage and go, I don't understand. And, you know, I didn't know what I didn't know. And I didn't know that what I was asking was were either some very simple basic truths or some very deep theological issues. But she would, in her gentle way, just help me to unpack it. Nothing more than what I could carry at that time, but just simply help me to unpack it. And then I'd have those wow moments. I'd be like, wow, is that what it means? Oh my goodness. You know, and I bet you've had those moments of revelation where you go, wow, I didn't understand that. Or moments of like, whoa, I didn't realize that that was what it was saying. And it wasn't like it was just for me back in that day. There are still times now where I'm kind of going, wow. You know, as you get a greater or a deeper understanding of what the word is saying. And I know it's just not me. I mean, like last week, you know, Guy told the story of Philip and the Ethiopian. And the question was, do you understand? It wasn't like he was an unintelligent man, no, but he had no understanding. And he was there at that place and time. And imagine if Philip hadn't come, hadn't been obedient, and he hadn't come alongside the Ethiopian and asked that question. There's a good chance that that seed could have been taken away from the Ethiopian. But Philip was there, and he helped to explain and to understand. The interesting thing is, you know, sometimes we can make assumptions on the way people look or the way that they are, that they know and they understand everything. So if you look at the Ethiopian, he was a well-dressed man. I imagine he was very intelligent, very articulate. He was clever at his job, obviously very, very responsible. I would say he earned a whole lot of money. And to look at him in a glance, you would say he had life altogether. But there was still something that he was missing. He was lacking understanding. So I think it's really important that for us that we can kind of go, that it's okay for us to say, do you understand what it is that you're talking about, that you're listening to, that you're reading? It's really important. And you see, it wasn't just Philip and the Ethiopian in that story, because you go to the next chapter, chapter 9, and we read about someone else who really did lack understanding, and it was Saul. Saul was a religious man, and he knew the Torah. He knew what it was that he was reading, but he didn't understand it. And for Saul, he had a supernatural encounter, because that's what it needed for him to have his heart opened so that he could receive the seed that was sown within him. There is so much for us to know and discover about God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, about the kingdom of heaven and how to live in it. And so it makes sense that we may need to journey alongside others very slowly and carefully to help bring understanding and revelation, of course, with the help of the Spirit. So with the wisdom and understanding that we have been given, we can share. Of course, being wise and careful to acknowledge that we don't know it all, but that we bring what we do know with the grace given by God to share and encourage others. That is what we're called to. Do you understand? Can I help you learn to understand? No. The second soil is the rocky places, where people hear the good news and they are delighted. That feeling of experiencing maybe God for the first time, knowing that they're loved, knowing that their sins are forgiven, and that feeling of lightness and freedom and joy that comes because of that. But because of the truth of the word and its application to their life has not been explained, it hasn't penetrated to the heart and it hasn't taken root deep within. And so while the good times and the good feelings are great, it's when the hard time comes, when there is nothing that anchors them to the truth that is found in Jesus, that is found in his word and that is in his promises. And so when the hard times come, which they do, when trouble or persecution comes because of Jesus in their life, when there become situations where choices have to be made, that either live the way of Jesus or they live the life that they want. When people start challenging and questioning their faith, and if they're expecting to always be good and great and exciting and things are great with Jesus, but then suddenly they're not feeling those feelings. And maybe at times there are people have to kind of feel like they have to choose between this and that. This faith that they have, even though they don't understand, or my friends and my family, because they're trying to pull me away. Or the life that I'm kind of wanting to live, and it's so contradictory to the way of Jesus. And it's too hard for them. It's too hard. And so they choose to go this way, and they fall away from Jesus. It is really hard when people mock us, and they make fun of us, and they intentionally try to challenge us and trip us up. And it's hard to live to the standards and teaching of Jesus' teaching. And I challenge anyone to say otherwise. And because we know how it can be, it's in these times that we really need to encourage one another. To live the way of Jesus is challenging. And I'm sure that's not just my story. It might be yours as well. It's challenging, but it's also exciting, and it's also freeing. And I came across this in my readings during this week. It's a writing from Strawn Coleman. He's a New Zealander. And he's written this book called Thirsting, Quenching Our Soul's Deepest Desire, which I'm reading at the moment. And it just resonated with me. He writes, often religion is painted as restrictive and anti-human, like a grumpy neighbor who hates the sound of children laughing and playing in the streets. And I wonder if subconsciously maybe Christians feel the same way. How often do we hear people, and I put in, how often do we hear ourselves talk of the goodness of Jesus' teaching and the liberation that obeying them brings? More often they're painted as repressive and domineering, you know, things we do to please God, not to be more alive. Jesus' teachings are the language of love, themselves the way in which we might drink deeper of God's loving presence. I think this is such a key thing for us as we share and encourage others along the way. Yes, there is a rub. Yes, there is a cost to following Jesus. There may be times where once we've always go, yeah, I'm in, and now we have to say, no, sorry, I can't do that. There might be times when the world would say, look, you do you. Anything goes. But now the word says to you, nope, that's not okay. It's damaging for your soul. There's another way. There is a better way. And that's really hard. And we're not dismissing the challenge of that. Not at all. Because the reality of it can be hard to turn our lives away from what was to walk into what is the way of following Jesus. But what it is that we need to be reminded that there is goodness and wisdom in the teachings of Jesus that ultimately brings freedom and light and lightness to our lives. Others have experienced it, and others have come to know and acknowledge their need of the Holy Spirit, the supernatural help that we need in those really challenging times. So to be able to come alongside others while they're going through those really hard times is so important. And as time goes on, and again, I don't know if you've experienced this in your own life after maybe an internal battle or a wrestle, you know, to live the way of Jesus, you can look back and see what he has done in your life, and the difference is day and night. The thorny ground, the third soil, is where the good news is received, and we assume it is rooted within the life of the believer. However, the worries of this life, you know, the deceitfulness of wealth chokes the word and it becomes unfruitful. The seed is planted, but the plant doesn't get to flourish. It doesn't get to live a fully productive life. And we most likely know people who once loved and lived for God, yet now, because of the stresses that they're facing, because of heartache and heartbreak of life, because of fears and doubts and worries about a myriad of things, because of disappointments and failures, because of financial struggles and because of the pursuit of finances and the pleasures of life, it is sucks. These things are sucking the life that Jesus has for them out of them. And the fullness of life that we read of, that Jesus promises, seems like a cruel promise, an empty promise. But it's not. Now, Jesus, in his final teaching to his disciples, told them, and we know the scripture well, in this world you will have troubles. And it's kind of like a little bit of a, you know, it's not going to be, life isn't going to be great, but it's okay. And he says, but I've overcome the world. Understanding and unpacking the truth of that is life-changing. But before he says that sobering truth, he tells us that he's given us these teachings. And this is in the, you know, the final discourse with Jesus and the disciples up in the room. He says that he's given us this teaching. His life, the wisdom that he shares, and his love, so that we would find our peace in him. He is our peace. He is our hope. He is our strength and the wisdom that we need. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And it's his way, his truth, that brings life. And so to those who we see, it seems that life is choking them, that they can't see Jesus in the midst of everything, we have the privilege of coming alongside, speaking and sharing hope, speaking of the life-giving, peacemaking teachings of Jesus in ways that speaks to their pain, that speaks to their doubt and their worries, whatever it might be. Maybe we can share of similar situ experiences of how we trusted God through those times. And of course, we don't all get to experience the same kind of things, but as we go on in life, we know the stories and the journeys of others. And so if we can't identify with them, we can go, hey, let me introduce you to a friend who may be able to encourage you along the way. And then the final soil is when someone hears the word of God and they receive it, and they seek to understand it. And so it becomes planted and rooted and established in their lives. And it produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times. And so here, life with Christ is flourishing. And what a beautiful sight that is. And so when we see that in people's lives, we get to celebrate and we get to encourage them and spur them on in the things of God. We still come alongside. You know, even if it looks like everybody's got it all together, every life is going great and everything, we still need to come alongside and support one another, because no one is immune to the worries of the day. You know, after this particular parable, there is another one that Jesus speaks about, the farmer who sows good seeds. Okay, that's really good, but there is one that comes out and sows seeds as well. The evil one comes along. See, no matter where the seed has fallen, there is a need for us to come alongside. There is a need for us to be watching and to be aware of what is happening in one another's lives so that we can love and support and disciple one another. Not just us within this room, but beyond these walls as well. See, we all have a part to play. We don't have to do it all. So I guess the question is, what is my part? But my question would be, what is your story? What is the liberation that you have experienced and that you are experiencing because of the goodness of Jesus' teaching? See, we don't just have one testimony. We don't just have we have a testimony of how we were when we encountered Christ. You know, and that's great and that's really exciting. However, hopefully, we have many testimonies, many stories that we would be able to share of when God maybe brought someone alongside us, when we didn't understand something. Or maybe it was a book that you read that would be a good thing to share. Or maybe you know someone who can help somebody, or you know of a course that can help to bring someone more understanding. Pointing people in the right direction and to the right people is such a gift to others. So that is how we can help people who don't understand or need help with understanding. Or maybe you know how challenging it is to change your life for and with Jesus. You know the very real cost of turning your back on your old ways to follow him. The very real need for encouragement and for support and help along the way, a companion. How powerful is your story? How powerful your story is to someone who really needs it. Or maybe you know what it's like to juggle the cares or the deceitfulness of this world with your faith. And if, like most of us, you can't juggle it all and balls do fall down, yet what it is the ball that you've held onto is your faith. And you've trusted the word of God. You've trusted the truth of the word and the promises that are in there. And you've learned the hard way that trusting him, living his way, is so much better. And his word speaks to our worries and our doubts and our concerns and shows us the way to a true and flourishing life. So what it is that we become the witness to the good news of Jesus. We have a story to tell so that we can come alongside and say, look, I hear you. I understand what you're talking about. And with the wisdom and grace of God, you get to share. Or you get to say, hey, look, can I introduce you to someone? Because they will really know what it is that you are experiencing. See, this is then how we can be, as Peter writes to those in his letters in 1 Peter 3:15. His word says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. I think this is it. You know, we kind of, when we go out and we hang out with people who don't know Jesus, or who know Jesus a little bit, and we kind of think, oh, how am I going to be prepared to give an answer? The only answer, the only thing that we can bring is our own understanding and our own experience of Jesus. We don't have to tell everything, but hey, well, this is my experience. I said no to this, and this is why I'm choosing not to do this. Or, yeah, I understand what it is to be worried and concerned about things. This is what I do. I'm meaning to offer it to Jesus and ask him to help me. And we can do that with gentleness and with respect. And that is how we encourage, and that's how we disciple. That's how we show people to live the way of Jesus. See, 1 Timothy 4:2, again, Paul writes, we're encouraged to be prepared in season and out of season to share the word. So in that, it kind of means in season is when the environment is friendly and it's safe and you kind of go, yeah, this is cool, this is okay, you know, most likely with people who you know will be open and receptive to hearing what you've got to say. But being out of season means times when it might be awkward or it might be difficult. And so we're encouraged to be prepared. And again, we don't need to come be domineering and loud and blah. We can come with gentleness and respect to God and to those that we're sharing with. You know, with the Holy Spirit being evident in our lives, we can do this with wisdom and discernment, because we so need discernment, and with love. So hopefully in looking at Jesus' parable of the sower, we can see how it might be that we can come alongside others, you know, and lead them and guide them and teach them and ultimately point them to Jesus, showing and teaching his kingdom ways and the flourishing life that we can have with him. Yet while we can be caring and being watchful for others, we need to remember too that this parable speaks to each one of us. Our journey of faith is just that, it's a journey. For some of us, it started a very long time ago, and for others of us, it was just recent, and it will, God willing, continue on into eternity. And along the way, we need to ensure that we protect and that we nurture the seed planted within us. That we would be humble and honest enough at times to say, in regards to the Word of God, to the teachings of Jesus, hey, I don't understand this. I don't get it. I don't understand what it's asking of me in this. You have to find someone that you can ask questions to and kind of go, yeah, that they might be able to guide you in the right direction. And as we've just kind of said, you don't have to have the answers. You might be able to lead them to something or to someone or to a book that can help. But then hopefully continue on with that journey. You know, Guy and I, we have someone that we meet up with on a regular basis, and he's the one that we can go to and say, hey, have you got any books or have you got any papers? Because there's this that we want to understand more fully or more deeply. We know that there's more behind this. What do you recommend? And it's great because he sends us screeds of articles and books and things for us to read. And it's great because we want to understand what it is that God is showing us. We don't want to miss. When I say miss out, I don't mean we, you know, fear of missing out kind of thing. But we want to experience all that God has for us. And it's okay to say, I don't know, I don't understand. Or maybe you might find yourselves at times, maybe today, where they're struggling to live out the teachings of Jesus. You know, there's a really, very real battle going on inside. And it's so important to have someone that is trusted, that you know, so that you don't have to journey on your own. Because we were never made to do this on our own. This is God's blueprint all the way through, is that we would be in community, in relationship, in family. That's the way that he's made us. And we need each other. As I say, others will have experienced, no doubt, something similar. They can encourage us along the way. And life is really challenging and it's hard. And for maybe for you at this moment, the noise and the chaos of everything around you has stolen your peace. But Jesus has given us his peace. He's given us all that we need to live a godly life. And maybe you know all of this, because we do, we know it, no doubt, but you're overwhelmed. You just need for Jesus to speak to the storm in your mind and your heart so that you can experience the peace of Christ. Or maybe you're in a season of great flourishing, of closeness to the Lord, of walking in obedience in the light of his love. But wherever you might find yourself this morning, as we finish, I just want to offer the opportunity for us to pause, and as Graham had us do this morning, to reflect. So as we do that, if you'd like to close your eyes, then I invite you to do so. The reason we close our eyes is to try and remove any kind of distraction so that we can focus and be with God. Holy Spirit, in this time, as we come before you, again, we ask that you would reshape the pattern of our lives. We offer you our lives, our story once again. We offer all that is old and all that is new. All that is broken and all that is whole. Father, we thank you for who you are. You are our Father, and holy is your name. I thank you that you love us with an unending love. I thank you that as we come into your presence now, as we still our minds and our hearts, I pray that we would know that we are your beloved. Thank you for all that you have done for us, that we find ourselves here. We find ourselves gathered with one another in your presence. We find ourselves leaning into you. I pray that you would remind us of the goodness of your teaching in our lives, and how obeying them has brought freedom to us. Remind us, I ask. I thank you for the testimony that we each have. I thank you for the stories that we can share with others of your goodness and of your faithfulness, your trustworthiness in our lives. And some of those testimonies have been so hard earned, and it's been challenging and it's been hard, but we've seen your goodness in our lives. We thank you for those testimonies, and they are gold. And help us to remember how precious they are, and what a gift that they may be as we can share them with others. But as we sit here also, we are aware of our need for you. We are aware of our need of you. We don't understand it all. We might look like we do. We might appear to others like we do. But there are things that we don't understand. I pray that you help us to bring those things before you, before others. We don't understand just so that we know that it's information. We want to understand so that it can help form the way that we live and the way that we have our being. And we come before you and we acknowledge the challenge that it is to accept and to live the teachings that you call us to. Might be the big ones are easy, but the small ones are really challenging. It might be that the small ones are really challenging, but the big ones are really hard. You know our heart. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come and you'd minister to us. And Father, you know the cares and the concerns and the worries that we have. You know them all, the spoken and the unspoken. As we sit before you, I speak peace. I speak the peace of Jesus over our lives. I pray that we would lean into the truth and the teaching that we have in you. And Lord, if we're sitting here this morning and we're like going, yeah, no, I understand it all, and I, you know, it's not too difficult for me to accept the teaching, and I've got not too many worries in my life, and life is good, and life is great, and well, Father, we thank you. We thank you that life is good and great and beautiful, and that we can celebrate the good and every blessing that comes from you. And I know too there are times where we can be experiencing flourishing, it seems, in one area, but then in other areas it's challenging. So we acknowledge the different places and spaces in our heart. But we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would meet us there, that you would continue to reshape our lives, and that we would continue to have a glad and generous heart to receive your word and to obey your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.